Welcome to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets, where world-renowned author, speaker, and holistic veterinarian Dr. Judy Morgan answers your questions and offers healthy options for raising your pets in a more holistic manner. Not sure which vaccinations should be given or how often? Not sure what to use for flea, tick, and heartworm prevention? Join Dr. Judy now as she interviews the top experts and showcases the latest products that will help your pets stay naturally healthy.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets. I'm your host, Dr. Judy. Today I have one of the first holistic veterinarians, before the word holistic even existed, before people were really starting to use alternative therapies in animals, this man was leading the parade. And I am really honored to have him join me today. Dr. Basco has been practicing holistic veterinary medicine for over 35 years. I've been practicing that long, but I've only been doing holistic medicine for about 20 to 25. He's a leading authority on holistic animal health, and he was one of the first to study the effectiveness of acupuncture in animals at UCLA and is one of the founders of the Veterinary Botanical Medical Association. He lectures all over the world to animal caretakers as well as veterinarians, and I have heard his lectures, and he's just a joy because he is a very calming presence. And so when you sit in his lectures, you can just kind of get in touch with nature and, you know, kind of relax, which I don't do very well. So that's I need to maybe go to more of his lectures, but I also need to go visit because he lives in Hawaii, and I'm so jealous. Clients know him as the easygoing vet who takes his time with the animals. And he recognized early on that the best approach to healthcare was to create an environment that facilitated good energetic health. Therefore, his practice on the island of Kauai, hopefully I'm saying that right, looks and feels more like a tropical spa than a typical pet hospital. And, you know, this is my dream. So I have always envisioned having like this little zen garden outside with, you know, a water feature and the sun, because I love the sun, and being able to treat my animals, you know, sitting on the ground with them. That's what I envision. And it sounds to me, welcome aboard, Dr. Basco, and it sounds to me like that's what you've found or that's what you've made.
Aloha, everybody. Well, okay, so just to backtrack, I did a lot of surgery, and I was doing surgeries and emergency clinic and orthopedic surgery and studying to do neurosurgery. And I don't know, the whole thing seemed kind of, factory. You know, you do about 20 surgeries a day, and hope everybody thing comes out, but the people only judge you by how big the incision is.
Yeah, exactly.
And so if you make a small incision, the least amount of trauma, well, this is like a 2-inch incision. How come you charge me $2,000? Well, a lot went on underneath that incision. So I got sick of the whole, and I worked like, because I was doing rotations at different hospitals, learning different kinds of surgery. I must have gone through 10 different hospitals in my first 3 years. And I got, this is not good for the animals. This is not good for me to be indoors all the time. What else is possible? So I started doing house calls in the Bay Area. And I noticed that animals are so much different at home, in their home environment, treating them, even sometimes doing a minor surgery at home. And so that got me thinking, why don't we create clinics that are more like a home environment and not like a clinical sanitation type environment, which I think is important, but for holistic work, you really need to have a calm, natural kind of environment, and what's more natural than someone's home.
Yeah.
So from there, I kind of had a couple clinics that are basically like a home with, looks just like furniture and nice little beds for the dogs to examine them on or do treatments on them. And that really went over well for both the people. And the animals were so much more relaxed in that kind of environment.
Sure. Yeah, it's interesting. In our clinic, we have rubber flooring. And, you know, when we put that in, other veterinarians came in and looked at it, and they all said, oh, I could never do that. I have to have shiny floors. You know, it has to look pretty. And
yeah.
I said, yeah, except, you know, okay, you're an orthopedic surgeon. You have slippery, you know, porcelain floors.
Yeah.
You do $5,000 worth of work, and the dog falls on his way out of the clinic and breaks something. Like, does this make any sense?
Yeah.
But they can't give up the pretty floors. And my favorite exam room is my room that has no table. It has rubber floors. It has a very comfortable bench that the people sit on. It has these kind of padded puppy stairs that I sit on half the time. But I'm down on the floor with the animals because, to me, and I keep saying, you know, when I can't get down there anymore, then I'm done. You know, if I can't get back off the floor, it's time to be done with this. But they're so much more relaxed. That, you know, it really makes a huge difference when they're not afraid of falling, when they're not, you know, just fearful and gripping with their toes from the second they walk in. So, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I think clinic design needs, update because well, it depends on what kind of clinic you have, of course, but if you want the average general practice, really animals first, I think, need more time to evaluate them. Like, we get these, a lot of rescue dogs people are rescuing, and they're afraid, they have PTSD, and so sitting down in kind of like a small living room situation and just being with the person, being with the dog, and then slowly going over and seeing if you can pet the dog and connect with the dog, and then we could do stuff, but if you don't connect with the dog or the people, then it's kind of, you know, it doesn't feel good all around on both sides.
Exactly. You're absolutely right. So I was tooling around your website, and it's a great website, by the way. It's drbasco.com, and there's a great story on there about how you decided to become a veterinarian. Can you tell that story?
Well, I'm not sure which story you're referring to, but I actually was in human medicine.
Right.
That was my thing because my parents wanted me to be a doctor, you know. Parents from the old country come here and they're working in factories and they want their son to be, you know, better. And so they sacrificed and got me through Catholic school and all-boys school and got me into college. And I worked in a chemistry lab for $2 an hour, and then someone told me you could work in a human hospital for $8.50 an hour, and that was back in the 60s. That was a lot of money. So I worked as an orderly one day in the General Hospital in Detroit, and I decided this is not for me. I could never live and work this way. I didn't like the way they took care of people,
right,
or their attitude towards people, and I just said, I don't know, this doesn't feel right. So I switched from that to biochemistry, and which was kind of close to medicine because I love medicine, I love botany, I love biology, physiology, all those things. And a friend of mine told me, you know, you should have checked into veterinary school. And I said, what is veterinary school? I never heard of veterinary school. Yeah, that would be like a dog doctor. I said, a dog doctor, an animal doctor, that sounds like the best thing in the world to be if you like medicine. So I switched to the veterinary major, and then I had the problem of getting into vet school because they thought I was a draft dodger. And so they put me through all these things that you would not believe, like 4 interviews with 10 people, and then they had to they told me you have to go to summer school and take math, physiology, chemistry, and get all A's, and then we'll consider you. And then I got 2 A's and a B, and then he said, okay, you got to take animal husbandry, poultry science, dairy science, and pull all A's in that. So they made it really hard, and we had 500 applicants in only 50 spaces.
Wow.
And it was a 3-year experimental program, so you do 4 years of veterinary medicine in 3 years. And so the first year, half the people flunked out.
Oh, geez.
Because it was insane.
Yeah.
And luckily I didn't. I tell you, Catholic school, going to an all-boys school, getting whacked when you didn't get your homework done on time. I mean, that worked for me. But it was at that time harder to get into veterinary school than it was in medical school.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I was applying in 1980, so it's a little behind you, and it was the same thing. I mean, at that point, it was 13 applicants for every seat available because I was from New Jersey and we don't have a vet school. And actually, Michigan was one of the schools I was accepted at, but it was way too cold. Because I hate the cold weather. My fallback, you know, I always said, well, if I can't get into vet school, I'm going to go to med school. And then I took a human anatomy and physiology class. Went to the library and I got this anatomy book and I opened it up and there were live cross sections of the human body with all the parts and pieces labeled. Opened the book to that and I literally had to run to the bathroom to throw up and I said, I'll never make it through anatomy. I can't even look at the pictures. There's no way I can dissect a body. Doing surgery on a person isn't going to work. I hate human blood. If I cut myself, I hit the floor and somebody else has to fix it. So for me, it wasn't an option. It's kind of like you walked in and said, I can't do this. And so I never could have either. So, you know, it was vet school or bust. So,
well, you know, we kind of lucky to find ourselves in the right position because being in the wrong, I mean, even if you're making lots of money, like some of the people I know, like some of my kids making lots of money, you know, about four or five times more than I can imagine, but they're not happy in their job, but they're, you know, they got a Cadillac, they got a, you know, BMW, they got a...
That they don't have time to drive.
Exactly. All those things. But, you know, I thought surgery was the best thing you can do for animals. And, but I, you know, although I was a really good surgeon, I got that this wasn't me, you know. Mm-hmm. It was too mechanical. And then there was so much to do around it. And the one place that I really saw the light was that the treatment of geriatric patients was basically steroids or aspirin or a compound with a steroid and an aspirin together, which weren't good for pain until their liver gave out or they started bleeding internally.
Right,
and
exactly.
That was all there was for geriatric medicine.
Wow.
So being a single and living in L.A., and not being the boss, I could go home and I have time to practice my guitar, my piano, and go to night school. So I went to night school at UCLA, and I took Eastern philosophy. And that's where I got into, wow, these people live longer than we do. They do meditation. They do yoga. They eat vegetarian food. I mean, what's wrong with our society? So after a year of philosophy, Eastern philosophy, I started taking courses in yoga, macrobiotic cooking, healthy eating, and that just turned me around.
Interesting.
So how are you going to apply this to animal medicine?
Exactly.
So that was my thing, you know. So learn how to create home-cooked diets. Learn about vitamins and nutraceuticals and antioxidants and all those kind of things that were like in the early 70s. Nobody talked about that, really.
Right, right. Exactly. So your first thing that you started changing with these animals that you were treating was the diet? That was your first kind of holistic therapy?
No, it was actually acupuncture. I basically did paralysis, disc problems. I had really good results with paralysis. And after I finished the 2-year experimental course and research on paralyzed animals, I told my teacher, you know, this is like the most amazing thing I've ever seen, you know, because I'm working with a neurosurgeon and we're doing surgery on back problems and paralyzed animals, and half of them die, and then the rest, the people can't afford the surgery, and you might as well just put them in a cage with steroids. They'll do just as well as they did with surgery.
Right.
And so that switched me from treating with surgery to treating with needles. So that was the first thing I did, basically, holistic, was that. And then I moved from L.A. to San Francisco and area, and everybody's into macrobiotics and vegetarian food, and this is back in the 70s. And so I got into that. I got into groups where you learn how to cook macrobiotic cooking, and one day my dog ate my meal, which was steamed rice, steamed vegetables, and this was a Doberman, and he came and ate my food. I had it on the floor because I was sitting there talking to a friend, and he ate my food. And that dog told me that there's something missing in that recommended by veterinarian's dog food, which I was feeding, you know, the best food I thought was possible. But then my dogs smelled bad, and they were hyper, and, you know, they were shiny, but they smelled, and, you know, there was something wrong. And when I started macrobiotic cooking, but I did add meat and fish and eggs, they became different dogs. They like, calmed down. And they were didn't smell. I didn't have to give them as many baths. They didn't have ear problems. They weren't scratching. And that was enlightening. So gradually, I figured out, after reading a lot of different books, Juliet Barclay Levy, her book on feeding puppies just blew my mind because it was so against what I was taught in vet school. You know, only feed out of a can or a bag.
And preferably if it's a prescription food.
She was talking about raw feeding. Talk about raw eggs and fermented goat cheese and all kinds of weird stuff that, you know, it's like, wow, this is weird. Being trained as a veterinarian depended on, you know, a certain diet that our nutrition course was based on a dog food company telling us what is natural and what is healthy.
Exactly.
So food came second. And then I was lucky to, I'd say sometimes being single helps because you have all this extra time to search around. And I ran into this drugstore that on one side had drugs, on the other side had herbs. And so I walk in there, and this professor from Berkeley, UC Berkeley Pharmacology School, was retired, and he opened up a little apothecary. And when people walk in there with a prescription for a drug, he tries to talk them into taking an herb instead.
Wow.
And so I hung out with him for a few years, and I learned a lot about herbs from having a mentor is really important.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, so mentors are really important. So that's kind of my stage in life now is to teach, to share, to give out what I have to people with pets and veterinarians who are open-minded to open up some new possibilities on how to treat animals, how to feed animals, and like that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's funny that you had a Doberman, because when I started in practice, I, too, had Dobermans. And, man, my Dobermans, and I fed, I worked in a practice that sold prescription diets, and there's a little pet store that the veterinarian's wife owned next door where all the prescription diets were sold. And probably 90% of our patients were on a prescription diet because if they were a geriatric, they were given the geriatric diet. If they were a pediatric, they were given the pediatric diet. And if they were, you know, having any kind of medical issue, then they got the specific diets for that. And so, of course, you know, because that company, we sold all their products, I thought, oh, well, this is the best company, and that's what my dog ate. And oh my gosh, his gas was so bad, he would just clear the room, and I was just like, I can't live with this dog.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and we just all thought that was normal. Like, dogs are supposed to have that much gas, and they're supposed to clear.
Yeah.
You know, you always have to have the dog in the room so you can blame them when, you know.
Yeah, I know.
And so I went on a search, you know, and this was before I knew anything about anything holistic, but I went on a search. I said, there's got to be something better. And I swear, I went to the pet store, and I bought, you know, bag after bag after bag, one company after another after another after another, and I finally found a food that had no soy and was a pelleted formulation, so it went through a different process, and it was the first food that my dog didn't have gas. So that was kind of my first indication, like, maybe there's some difference, and maybe we should look at this. And then years later, when I started, you know, when I got more knowledge, and I started feeding my dogs appropriately, and now they either eat home-cooked or raw, but, you know, my Dobermans taught me a lot. I don't have any anymore, but one of them ate every radish in my garden. went out there and he jumped over the fence, pulled all the radishes out and ate them. And you know what, at the time I just thought he was being a goofball, and now I look back at him and go, okay, well obviously he needed that. There was some stagnation that needed to be resolved, and this dog was just going to take care of the problem on his own because I didn't know how to do it. And another one of my Dobermans sat there and ate all the yarrow in my garden. I was planting it, he was pulling it out and eating it as fast as I could put it in. Didn't touch anything else, and then of course then I had to go inside and look up yarrow and go, why the heck is my dog eating all this yarrow? So they're actually
pretty
smart.
The animals teach us. If we have time to watch them, that is one of the things that I'm telling veterinarians, you know, in general, like with herbs, you know, you got a capsule with a bunch of herbs. Why don't you go out and see how it grows and where it grows and what it takes to grow it yourself?
Yep.
Yeah, that's where you practice your cooking, on your own pets.
Mine love being those taste testers, by the way. I grow a lot. I have a lot of herbs that we grow, and, you know, I go out and I get different things, and, you know, all right, what do you guys like? What do you guys want? And I do that with food, too. And when I first started with food, and I was just learning the energetics of food, it was a long time ago, but I had two Dobermans and a Rottweiler at the time. And so I had gone to the grocery store, and I thought, you know what, I'm just going to do this little experiment. So I took some raw chicken, some raw beef, some watermelon, some broccoli, just tons of different things. And I just kind of cut up pieces, and I placed them around my kitchen on the floor. And then I turned the dogs loose, and one of them went for the watermelon, like went right by the meat, just said, nope, and went for the watermelon. And I went, son of a gun, that dog has a dark red tongue, he's hot as all get out, he needs to cool down, and he knew what he needed. And, you know, so we all think, oh, of course he's going to go for the steak. Nope, he went for the watermelon. And, you know, it was an eye-opener. I was like, well, that's pretty cool. Like, we should give him a choice sometimes.
No, that's really sitting down and watching your animals react and what they need, and just taking my dog for a walk in the morning and watching, oh, she's eating grass today. That means she didn't get enough vegetables yesterday. My dog hates vegetables, but she'll eat grass, wild grass growing on the side of the road. And so, yeah, there's a lot of misinformation out of there. And, and going back to the vet school recommended diet, you know, back in the 60s, the formulas, the doctor who created those formulas was on the right track. You have one kind of formula for kidneys, another kind for heart, and all that. But then you look at what the old formulas were, like they used to have horse meat, a lot more meat than they do now. No genetically modified things. And then the company gets bought couple times and everything changes, and they still have the same labels, and that makes sense, but when you look at the ingredients, it doesn't make that much sense. You'd rather make it yourself.
Exactly. It's changed so much. We need to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. When we come back, we're going to talk more about food and some other holistic therapies that Dr. Basco uses that I think are pretty awesome. Stay tuned.
Interested in learning more? Visit Dr. Morgan's website at www.drjudymorgan.com, where you'll find detailed information about her blogs, a schedule of her upcoming speaking engagements, free information about integrative and holistic medicine, as well as an interactive forum where anyone can ask Dr. Morgan a question completely for free. Visit her website today to join the mailing list, where you'll find exclusive information and promotions only available to those select subscribers. Dr. Morgan is an accomplished author, having published several books about veterinary medicine and home cooking for your pets. You can find From Needles to Natural, detailing her journey from practicing traditional medicine to understanding the healing power of holistic practices today, on Amazon Prime, as well as What's for Dinner, Dexter, and Canine Kitchen Capers, which are two great recipe books that you'll find both delicious and entertaining. When it comes to our pets' health, you can never be too careful. We invest significant time in ensuring that they have long and happy lives, but it's important to invest the same dedication into our own longevity. The key active ingredient in Dr. Morgan's wellness formula, Pure New Zealand Deer Antler Velvet, is now available as a standalone human-grade product. Life Deer Antler Velvet is a whole food supplement rich in calcium and collagen to support healthy joints and strong bones. Our products prioritize purity, ethical harvesting, and quality sourcing above all else. Visit DAVLife.com to learn more and order your first bottle today.
Tune in to world-renowned author, speaker, and holistic veterinarian Dr. Judy Morgan, and now radio host of Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network every Monday and Tuesday, 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Not sure which vaccinations should be given or how often? Not sure which food is best for your individual pet? Find out the answers to your questions in this weekly show where Dr. Judy interviews top experts and showcases the latest products that will help your pets stay naturally healthy.
Does your dog have bad breath? Tired of spending money on expensive dental procedures? Try out Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops today and save money while maintaining your pet's oral health. With New Zealand deer antler velvet as the primary ingredient, Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops are effective for treating stomatitis, gingivitis, and ulcers. You can purchase Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops directly from Amazon Prime or from her website, www.drjudymorgan.com. Dr. Morgan's wellness formula for dogs and cats provides multiple health benefits in one product. Made with all natural ingredients sourced from New Zealand, this supplement can be used routinely to maintain overall physical and mental well-being. This product is particularly beneficial for the maintenance of joint health, nerve and brain function, skin and coat health, immune function, gut health, and liver health. Find Dr. Morgan's wellness supplement today on Amazon Prime or at her website, drjudymorgan.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets on DreamVision7Radio.com. My guest today, Dr. Basco, is fascinating, and he has been holistic long before the term holistic veterinary medicine ever was known. And it's really cool because he has so much knowledge in his head. He's one of those people you just want to climb in there and go, can I just like pick out some of this stuff? Could, you know, but the good news is he's written a few books. So for those of us who want to pick out some of that information, we can get it. And actually, one of his books is one of my favorites because it's all about food, fresh food, and ancient wisdom. And it's got some great recipes and you know, talks about the energetics, which is one of the things that I talk about. But a lot of the properties of food and kind of how to mix them together. And you know, it's just kind of kindred spirit for me, and I really appreciate it. So, Dr. Basco, do you find that by, this is a kind of a two-part question, one, do you find that by using a holistic approach with your patients, you increase longevity, and is there a point where an animal comes to you and they've had so much chronic inflammation, chronic disease, just, you know, bad everything, that you find that you can't turn them around?
Well, I do get a lot of cases like that from other practices where the people have given up on drugs, antibiotics, surgery, all that stuff. And they come to me and the dog's got cancer or severe arthritis. We still can improve the quality of their life. Right. Of course, if it's a big cancer and it's causing pain, and I'm not Jesus, I can't do something miraculous. But definitely, you can make a dog feel better in a few days by just feeding them the right kind of diet and giving them a few herbal supplements based on what's wrong with them. Right. And so you could give the last weeks or months of a dog's life could be the best time you spent with your animal. And I used to hate this when guys would come in when I was working regular clinics. Guys would come in and they said, put my dog down, he's getting old, he can't hardly walk, and that was it. Just drop him off and put him down and then get rid of him. And that always bothered me. It's like people couldn't face aging, especially guys, in their own dog. They didn't want to mess with them. And maybe because, I don't know what their trip was, but it seemed like guys always brought the dog in, put it down. It's where it could have been salvaged. And then doing work at the Humane Society, you see all these older animals dropped off to be put to sleep when they have still a couple, 2 or 3 years left if you treat them right.
Sure.
Yeah. So there's always something you can do. And the drugs, you know, I'll use drugs sparingly, but usually not much at all because there's so many other options that are better.
Yep.
You know, this CBD oil thing that's
I love
becoming
that
hot. No, that's just kind of like what happened to me in California when people said, well, did you hear about red raspberry? And I'm a surgeon. I said, no. Well, yeah, I like raspberries. Said, no, so you don't have to do C-sections. So if you give a dog red raspberry for 2 weeks before they have babies, then they don't have the problems of birthing. And so, but then my boss says, well, then we can't make money on the C-section. But it's weird. So people come to me, oh, have you? You know, what about pot oil or what about CBD oil for my old dog? He's in pain and stuff. And so, you know, I don't know. I'm still studying this stuff and I'm not using it on my own animals because they're not that old. They don't need it. But these people are giving me this, you know, various positive reports about this. And so a lot of people are saying, well, just the hemp oil seems to improve the quality of life, takes away some of their pain, and they seem to be happier.
Yeah,
and there are other Chinese herbs that do that too. Not as popular as CBD oil is now.
Yeah, well, I happen to live with eight, because I live with my parents. We have 8 senior dogs in this house. So the oldest three are 16 and a half. And they're all spaniels except for my mom's standard schnauzer. But I'm also the chief medical officer for Monkey's House, which is the senior dog hospice and sanctuary. So for Monkey's House, the dogs are pulled from the high-kill shelters, and they're those dogs that you're talking about, those seniors that are dropped off, that the people are just like, I don't want to deal with this. So they come blind, they come deaf, they come with cancer, they come with inguinal hernias with, you know, various body parts hanging outside the body. They come with severe arthritis, mobility issues, kidney failure, liver failure, cancers, crazy stuff. And so, you know, when we formed this hospice, one of the things we said is, well, we're going to do it differently. You know, this is not just a place where dogs are going to come to die and live out their last few days, you know, suffering with their diseases. We are going to make a difference. We're going to make those last days, weeks, months, whatever it is, the best that they can be. So there's usually about 25 dogs. They're in a home setting all together. And they are each have individualized meals that we make up based on whatever their problems are. So there's 25 different meals being put down twice a day for these dogs.
Wow.
And they're on a lot of herbs. We use medicine when we need to, but mostly we try to use alternative therapies for these dogs. And, you know, one of the things that we hit up against very quickly was, hey, these dogs, you know, we get them and we were told, oh, well, you know, they've only got a week or a couple of days to live. And we get them and a year later, we still have these dogs and they're running around the 6-acre field like there's nothing wrong with them. And
yeah.
I said, well, this is going to become a problem because the max limit here is pretty much 25 dogs. And if we're going to keep them all alive for another 3 or 4 years, this is going to be a problem. It's a good problem to have. So now we've got some foster homes and, you know, some other places where some of these dogs hang out. But, yeah, I'm actually using a ton of CBD oil. Every dog in my house is on all but one. They're on the CBD oil for, you know, various assorted things. And actually, half the people in my house are taking it as well. And I have to say, I like the effects. I use 3 different products, and there's definitely a difference in which products work better for which animals. So that's kind of
That's my dilemma. That's my dilemma. There's so many products right now.
Yes. And so, you know, it's one of those things, like I talk to the different companies and I look at their research and I look at their paperwork and, you know, look at their purity statements and, you know, and then I'm like, all right, well, you know, pick one, start with that one. All right, we'll pick another one. We'll start with that one. And, you know, so I'm pretty happy with where I am right now, but I think there's a lot of good ones out there. I think there's a lot of bad ones, just like any kind of supplements that are out there for sure.
Well, the thing is that, and this is what I'm trying to get herbal veterinarians to get into, is that the soil makes a big difference in the compounds that are in the plant, whether it's a vegetable or ginseng or something. Medicinal mushrooms that grow in the forest are going to be like 4 times more powerful than the ones that grow in the test tube commercially. And the time the day you pick the herb, the time of the year you harvest it, how you store it, how you dry it, how you process it, all will change the compounds. So one of my other things on the side is studying biochemistry of plants, which is kind of, I didn't think I'd use biochemistry that much in vet school, but now I'm using it for the plants, and these plants are amazing. So one plant might have 200 compounds, like CBD.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that we forget, you know, very commonly, you know, and we're pulling out one extract or we're pulling out one piece of the plant and we forget the benefits of the whole plant.
Yeah, well, that's kind of how we're kind of tailored in our thinking. We want to, in fact, you read the history of medicinal plants where they go to the jungles and they find something that's curing whatever, and then they want to take it and make it into a synthetic drug
right.
So they can sell it.
Yep, exactly.
So it's a common thing that's probably still going on. But, yeah, it opens up a whole new world of study for me is the biochemistry of plants and how do they work on the physiology of an animal. And horse, cat, dog, human are all going to react differently, too.
Sure. So what is your what's your favorite therapy to use? Like for me, it's food. I'm a food junkie. You know, I do all the TCBM stuff, but food is my favorite. Is the herbal and the plants, is that your favorite part of therapy?
Well, food is the foundation of health.
Right.
So if you have the best herbs from China or Japan, and you have the crappy diet, a commercial diet, you know, you're missing the point, you know.
It's
like having a suit and going barefoot. you really need to build the foundation of health starting with food. That's where I start.
Yep.
And then you have to look at the patient and create diets that are specific for that animal's needs, not for the generic dog, but, you know, this dog's got a heart problem and a liver problem, and he's got arthritis. So that would be a different kind of diet than for a dog that's younger with maybe a congenital heart problem would be two different diets. So, yeah, food is number one. And then number two is massage and acupuncture. To get a dog relaxed, to get needles into them, I go slow and I start making them feel good by doing some massage and finding all their pain areas, and that relaxes them. And then doing the needles are kind of like, and so herbs kind of come third. So if we get the diet handled, do some acupuncture exercise, and then we'll see what else is missing, you know.
Very cool. So one of the things that I saw on your website, and I thought it was pretty interesting, so not everybody has the ability to reach out to a holistic veterinarian. We're actually still a fairly small group. So are there some things that you would recommend that pet owners could do even if they don't have access to a holistic veterinarian? Like what are four or five things they could do that would make their pet healthier just right off the bat? So obviously one, change diet, get off the commercial processed stuff.
Well, yeah, actually read some books, take some seminars on it. There's different points of view on what's healthy to feed an animal, but, you know, the study of food is so amazing, you know, besides the energetics, like, you know, certain foods cool you down, so you want to eat those in the summer, and some warm you up in the wintertime. There's like, these foods are good for the kidneys, and those foods are good for the heart, and these are good for inflammation. And so then you get into that, and then you can go to nutritiondata.com. Nutrition Data, if you want to look up like asparagus, you look up asparagus on this website, and you'll see all the minerals, all the vitamins, all the fiber, everything you want to know about food. So you're not fooling yourself when you eat a baked potato versus French fries. You can look that up and see, wow, four times more fat in one of them. Guess which one?
Yeah, exactly.
So the study of food, for me, is where people will improve their own diet. So a lot of people say, well, now my dog's eating better than I am.
Uh-huh.
So I said, what's wrong with you? You know?
Exactly.
So I think the study of food and Chinese or Asian food therapy, so you have the Chinese, you have Japanese macrobiotics, and another one called Washoku. You know, studying food outside of the box, when I first started, I was eating like Indian food, you know, the Ayurvedic food, mm-hmm. the hot, spicy stuff, and I got that doesn't work for my Eastern European body. So, you know, certain foods are genetically programmed into the animal or the human's body. And then if you have reactions, That's because you're not eating what your culture or your race or where you came from, your origins, the food that then was common and digested and survived, and your race or your breed of dog survived eating those kind of foods. So one of the things I tell people, get the Cambridge World Book of History. So Cambridge World Book of Food History, and that will tell you where your ancestors came from, what you should be eating, and then you can look up what kind of dogs did those people have back then in Middle East. And so, you know, this opens up so many things, health for the person, health for their pets, and a whole new possibilities of food to keep you healthy so you don't have to take drugs and chemicals and stuff.
Exactly. All right, we need to take another break to hear from our sponsors. We'll be back in just a few moments.
Interested in learning more? Visit Dr. Morgan's website at www.drjudymorgan.com, where you'll find detailed information about her blogs, a schedule of her upcoming speaking engagements, free information about integrative and holistic medicine, as well as an interactive forum where anyone can ask Dr. Morgan a question completely for free. Visit her website today to join the mailing list, where you'll find exclusive information and promotions only available to those select subscribers. Dr. Morgan is an accomplished author, having published several books about veterinary medicine and home cooking for your pets. You can find From Needles to Natural, detailing her journey from practicing traditional medicine to understanding the healing power of holistic practices today on Amazon Prime, as well as What's for Dinner, Dexter, and Canine Kitchen Capers, which are two great recipe books that you'll find both delicious and entertaining. When it comes to our pet's health, you can never be too careful. We invest significant time in ensuring that they have long and happy lives, but it's important to invest the same dedication into our own longevity. The key active ingredient in Dr. Morgan's wellness formula, Pure New Zealand Deer Antler Velvet, is now available as a standalone human-grade product. Life Deer Antler Velvet is a whole food supplement rich in calcium and collagen to support healthy joints and strong bones. Our products prioritize purity, ethical harvesting, and quality sourcing above all else. Visit DAVLife.com to learn more and order your first bottle today.
Tune into world-renowned author, speaker, and holistic veterinarian Dr. Judy Morgan, and now radio host of Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network every Monday and Tuesday, 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Not sure which vaccinations should be given or how often? Not sure which food is best for your individual pet? Find out the answers to your questions in this weekly show, where Dr. Judy interviews top experts and showcases the latest products that will help your pets stay naturally healthy.
Does your dog have bad breath? Tired of spending money on expensive dental procedures? Try out Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops today and save money while maintaining your pet's oral health. With New Zealand Deer Antler Velvet as the primary ingredient, Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops are effective for treating stomatitis, gingivitis, and ulcers. You can purchase Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops directly from Amazon Prime or from her website, www.drjudymorgan.com. Dr. Morgan's wellness formula for dogs and cats provides multiple health benefits in one product. Made with all natural ingredients sourced from New Zealand, this supplement can be used routinely to maintain overall physical and mental well-being. This product is particularly beneficial for the maintenance of joint health, nerve and brain function, skin and coat health, immune function, gut health, and liver health. Find Dr. Morgan's wellness supplement today on Amazon Prime or at her website, drjudymorgan.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets on DreamVision7Radio.com. And my guest today, Dr. Basco, and I are—I don't know about him, but I'm having a great time. I've laughed a lot during this, and I kind of needed this right now. Couple things. So Dr. Basco really is into the study of food and herbs for the treatment of our pets, which right down my alley. I just want to pick his brain. So one of the things that he's kind of one of the gurus on is the use of mushrooms and medicinal mushrooms. But one of the other things I want to hit first is allergies, because I have to say probably the majority of consultations that come in my office or are on the phone or are asking questions on social media or on my website. Allergies, allergies, allergies. Why, oh why, are people dealing with pets that are just eating themselves raw? What is going on?
Yeah, that is a big question, and it takes the veterinarian some time to study the history. I go back to, what did this dog eat when he was a puppy, or what did this cat eat? And so your immune system is developed when you're a young kid, child, usually the first few months, and that's the germs from the mom that help you stay healthy, and the allergies or no allergies from the beginning. So a lot of times if your parents have allergies, that'll be passed on genetically. And then the immune system is very sensitive and is new and growing. So if the body recognizes something you feed it as a toxic element, it'll attack it with the immune system, and then the immune system will be hyper-vigilant the next time it has this product. Like the chicken byproducts is a big one. So even if the dog eats or the cat eats pure organic chicken, it reacts because the body's been sensitized to some food that wasn't appropriate to eat when they're young. So my thing is looking at the history of the dog's food. So food is number one. Because when I've been a vet, I'll be a vet 50 years in June.
Oh my God.
We didn't have allergy skin problems. We had allergies to fleas. And
right.
Then the food thing started to change. The company started doing different things like adding wheat, adding corn. And then all of a sudden, there's all these skin allergies that came up. And I think food is like the number one thing to work on.
Yeah.
And then two is, the home environment. A lot of our furniture, our carpets have flame retardants, they have mold inhibitors, they have all kind of chemicals, hormone disrupting chemicals. So in the process of doing house calls, you can see that the people with the richest homes living in mansions had these Maltese and these French Bulldogs and all these high-end dogs, and they're all itching because of their furniture and their carpets and their interior. So the environmental thing has gotten worse in the last 30 years, more pollution, more chemicals in our home environment. So that's usually like number two on the list. And then looking at basically, the common weeds that show up during certain seasons and how do you deal with those? That's where I got into homeopathy, which is totally weird for most vets, but it cured me. I used to have allergies, so I understand allergies. I had food allergies. I still do if I eat the wrong foods, but I had allergies to weeds and horses and dogs. And what cured me was homeopathic medicine, and I'm just clear of allergies to dogs, cats, and horses, and most pollens.
That's awesome.
So, that's a whole thing. So I spend at least an hour with people to begin with.
Right.
And prior, have people send a whole history so I don't have to read it in the exam room waiting for them.
Exactly. Exactly.
What do you think about it?
Well, and that's exactly what we do. So I have like a 5-page thing that they have to fill out. And I had a lady got so mad the other day. My receptionist said, she said, I need a consultation, and my receptionist said, okay, go to the website, here's the form that you need to fill out, and then email that in. And the woman got so mad, she said, I'm not filling out any form, and I called my receptionist a bad name and hung up on her. And I thought, wow, okay, if you're not even willing to fill out the form, I think we're going to have a hard time getting through an entire consultation, because I need a little help here. So we start with the same thing, because I need that history, and I do exactly the same thing. I want to know, what were they eating when they first came out of the chute, what food, and sometimes people don't know because they're rescue dogs, but, as far back as we can go, what were they eating? Then what did you try? Then what did you try? Then what did you try? What vaccines were given? what chemicals were put into that pet. You know, so were they a pet store puppy or kitten that got a series of 7 vaccinations, you know, and got multiple vaccines all at the same time? Were they getting fed, you know, one of the lower quality foods, or even if it's from a, you know, a big company, it's still low quality, you know, and what was their environment like, and what is their environment like that they live in now? And I think all of that plays into it. And so, you know, sometimes you feel like you're the detective and, you know, you've got your little spyglass and you're trying to find all the different things that contributed, because then you have to, you know, wade through and get rid of all those things, which
exactly
takes time.
It does. It takes a lot of time and patience. And not everybody is qualified to be a good dog owner or cat owner to go through what it takes to get them. You know, it's easier to give a drug or steroid until they start having side effects than they come to us, unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
I'm glad you're doing that. I hope that more veterinarians are doing that, that are in the holistic frame, and that's what I like holistic veterinarians, is that they will take more time to look at what is the cause of this, not just treat the symptoms.
Well, yeah, you know, and I, you know, people come in and they go, I just want to, you know, I just want to treat this symptom. Like, I, you know, I, somebody came in yesterday and her dog was coughing. She just wanted something to stop the cough. And I said, well, don't you want to know what's causing the cough? Well, I don't want to spend money on x-rays and I don't want to spend money on diagnostics. And I'm like, yeah, but your dog's 16. Don't you think we should find out what's causing the cough? Like, do we have heart disease? Do we have lung disease? Do we have a tumor? Do we have a collapsed trachea? She goes, oh, I'm sure it's a collapsed trachea based on the breed. And I said, well, let's take an x-ray. Yeah, not a collapsed trachea. And I said, I really think we should treat the underlying problem, not just the symptom. So, you know, the owner has to be willing to get to the root of the problem and be willing to do what it takes. And, you know, holistic care, it can be a little more time-consuming. But for me, I look at it and it's the bond that I have with my patient or my own pet when I'm taking this. Like, when I'm sitting here grinding their food, I finally got a nice big grinder. I'm sitting there grinding their food and grinding up all the veggies and mixing it all together and thinking about where it all came from. And I just, it's like, that's like pure joy for me.
I know. So the consultation form, I do phone consults too for people that can't find a holistic vet, and then I give them some guidance, and then I do try to find someone in the area, but on my consultation form, if they can't fill that out, then they're usually not going to go with the program, which is like making your own food. And also I ask them about their lifestyle, like do they get acupuncture, what kind of food do they eat? You know, because if you're eating at McDonald's, it's harder to sell, you know, a healthy diet to someone who eats out all the time.
Sure. I mean, I have people, they literally don't know how to boil water. I'm like, can you boil an egg? No, I don't know how to do that. So, you know, and I've taught some people. I had one woman that used to store sweaters in her oven, and she took cooking lessons because she needed, I told her what I wanted her to make for the dog, and she said, I don't know how to do that, but I'll go take cooking lessons. And she did. So, you know, you've got those clients who are, you know, all the way at that spectrum. They're like, I'll figure it out. You know, and then there are companies out there now that you can call them up and say, well, this is what I'd like to put in the food, and they'll make it for you. I get people ask me all the time if I'll cook for their dogs. I'm like, sure, in my spare time. Yeah, not. But I'll tell you how.
Right.
You're welcome to come to my house, and we'll show you how to do it. You know, I'll make a video for you. But, yeah, some people can't do it. But I have had clients as well that they – go into all this for their dogs. And one client, she just went crazy for her dog with cancer, did everything, and the dog, you know, the dog eventually succumbed to the cancer, but then they got a new puppy, and they wanted to start that one off right, so we did everything totally differently. I hadn't seen the client for about a year, and she came in, and I said, wow, you look different. What did you do? And she pulled out her wedding picture of her and her husband, and they'd been married for like 7 years, and she said, well, this is what we looked like when we got married. And she said, that's still what we looked like a year ago when we first started working with you. And between the two of us, we've lost 140 pounds in the past year because we applied what you taught us for the dogs. So they started exercising and they started making their own food and eating healthy. And she said, well, I figured if I was doing it for the dog, I, you know, owed it to myself. So I was stunned. I was just like, wow, that's the coolest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, well, that's true with my clients, too. I feel like I'm doing a community service just by teaching them how to cook. And I do workshops in Honolulu, and I'm thinking of maybe doing more just off my website, drbasco.com, because people need to learn more than boil water. They need to get the deeper appreciation of what they're boiling and what goodies there are, like the tomato. You know, might have 150 different compounds, you know, all good. But yeah, I'm glad. So the other thing is I would like to have you on my radio show, Pets, People, and Paradise, which is another way people can listen besides your show. My radio show on Saturdays at 9 o'clock, Hawaii time, every Saturday, 9 o'clock on KKCR.org, KKCR.org. And so we talk about diet and people call in with questions and things, but, you know, really we are doing a community service by teaching people how to make food for their pets because they're learning a lot for themselves.
Yep. Well, like I said, it makes that bond so much stronger. And, you know, when you see the changes in the pet, and, you know, it's like these dogs at Monkey's House, they come in and they're just broken and battered and beat up and, you know, haven't had any attention in God knows how many years. And, you know, you look at them a couple of weeks later and say, oh my gosh, there was a dog hiding in there. And now this dog is running around and feeling so good and enjoying life. So their motto is where dogs come to live. Because everybody thinks that they go there to die, and it's like, no, they're going there to live, and they go out with a bang. You know, they have fun. The person who runs the hospice has it at her house. She takes field trips with the dogs because the mental ability is, you know, you have to get that mental stimulation as well, especially for the seniors. So if they can't walk, then they either get carried or pushed in a stroller or pulled in a wagon. They've had wagons donated, and you know, they take trips to the beach. They take trips to the Pine Barrens. That, you know, they're all over the place with these dogs, and it's so cool. So, you know, really, you know, fun stuff. And I think that we all need to, you know, not write off our seniors too soon. But, you know, as holistic veterinarians, what I would love to see happen is I would love to see us get more people to start out with their puppies and kittens going more the holistic route and, you know, see what we can do. And because I think we could make some big changes.
Well, I tell people, you know, if you're going to feed commercial food, open up a checking account for your veterinarian or a savings account and buy insurance, because my clients, once they get cooking, I see them once or twice a year just for a checkup. They don't come in with skin problems. They don't come in with the arthritis isn't as bad. I mean, you really save money, and the dogs live a long time. My oldest dog was 24. My last one was 20. My Dobermans live to be 16 and 17. I mean, the food really works. You get more mileage on your pets, less problems. And when you do go to the vet, you get more of a guidance. So, you know, my dog's now geriatric. How can I change the diet? He's been eating this, now what? You know, so it's more like managing health instead of managing disease, you know?
Exactly. Makes a huge difference. Dr. Basco, we are out of time. I'm bummed because this has been a great conversation. You've been listening to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets. You can tune in every Monday and Tuesday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. on DreamVision7Radio.com. Until next week, hug your pets.
That's all for today. Find more answers to your questions next time on Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets, every Monday and Tuesday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time by going to DreamVision7Radio.com. Join holistic veterinarian Dr. Judy to discover healthy options for raising your pets in a more holistic manner. Visit DrJudyMorgan.com to learn more.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.